And God We Trust first appeared on our coins in the year 1864. You can actually see it, 1864, in God We Trust, moving very quickly. It was urged. How did this happen? It was urged by Secretary of the Treasury, Salmon P. Chase, in the following brief letter to the Director of the National Mint at Philadelphia on November the 20th, 1861. And here is what this little letter said. Dear Sir, no nation can be strong except in the strength of God or safe in His defense. The trust of our people in God should be declared on our national coins. And things were a little bit different because things were moving along a little faster in those days in government. On December the 9th, 1863, Chase formally approved the slogan, say it with me, In God We Trust. It just didn't happen, friend. Awesome. It first appeared on the short-lived 1864 2-cent coin, but then it's been used continually on the 1-cent coin since 1909, on the dime since 1916. Since July 1, 1908, In God We Trust has been stamped on gold coins, silver dollars, quarters, and half dollars. Got it? Amen? And you just thought it happened. No, it happened on purpose. People wanted it this way in our country. On July the 11th, 1955, President Dwight D. Eisenhower, he signed public law, making it mandatory that all paper money display the motto, say it with me, In God We Trust. The following year, in 1956, and most people don't even know this, if you're honest, Public Law 851 was enacted and signed to make In God We Trust our national what? Be honest, how many did not know that In God We Trust was our national motto? Can I see your hand? It's a law! Did you hear me? That's our country. That's where we came from. Man, we've drifted. Hey, are you hearing me today? In God We Trust is our national motto. All paper currency issued after October 1, 1957 included the words In God We Trust. Let's do a quick check. The 1, the 5, the 10, the 20, the 50, the 100. Here we go. In God We Trust, 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 in God We Trust. See it? Say it. We were going to have you pull out your money. It'd take too long. Here we go. Keep looking. You know, and I had to put this guy in the presentation this morning because we're in Florida. Ain't that right? Say, here we go. Listen to what the late Florida Congressman Charles Bennett had to say during that time when this was being argued and becoming law of our land. Here's what he said in support of putting In God We Trust on all currency and coins. Listen to the Southerner. I sincerely hope that the Senate will give its prompt approval to this proposal. In these days when imperialistic and materialistic communism during the 50s seeks to attack and destroy freedom, we should continuously look for ways to strengthen the foundations of our freedom. At the base of our freedom is our faith in God and the desire of Americans to live by His will and His guidance. As long as this country trusts in God, it will prevail. To serve as a constant reminder of this truth, it's highly desirable that our currency and our coins should bear these inspiring words. Say them with me. In God We Trust. Charles Bennett, June 7, 1955. Let's keep moving. In God We Trust. Little bit of history. But we're just getting started. It's more than just a slogan. Did you know that? Say, well, it's rare in the coin. It's on my dollar. In God We Trust is more than a slogan. And I'd like to lay that out for us today just a little bit. It wasn't like the USA all of a sudden started trusting God in 1864 or 1955. Say this with me. Say it with me. Trusting God is in our DNA. Say it again. Trusting God is in our DNA. We just got to find that DNA, baby. Say it one more time with me. Trusting God is in our DNA. Let's go back a little further. As a matter of fact, our national anthem, where did In God We Trust come from? The Star Spangled Banner says in the final stanza, one that we don't sing a whole lot, but I've sung it a few times, it closes with this. Say it with me. And this be our motto, In God is our trust. I believe that was 1814 when that song was written. But let's go back even further to our first president of the United States. Are y'all ready? Say, y'all ready to go back? Come on. Here we go. Let's go back. I'd like George Washington to preach today. Exactly. If you've got problems with what I say today, I know I'll add little things in the middle, and that's where the problem usually comes. But your problem's not going to be with me. Your problem's going to be with the first president of the United States of America. We need to remember where we came from. Y'all hear me say? Let's look at it. George Washington, born in 1732, lived to 1799. He was the first president of these United States of America. Commander-in-chief of the Continental Army during the Revolutionary War. He was also a surveyor, a planter, a soldier, and a statesman. George Washington. As a boy, we're going to break down his life and look at it as a boy, as a young soldier, as a general, as president. Let's look at him as a boy. How can he amount to anything? His father died when he was 11 years old. He went to live with his older half-brother in Westmoreland County, Virginia, which is about 40 miles from Fredericksburg. Got Virginia in the house. Come on, there we go. You know it. Already Philly's excited back there. I know. Here we go. Most of his education was through, say it with me, homeschooling and tutoring. That's how he grew up. Okay? He received a surveyor's license from William and Mary College in 1749. And most folks don't know it. He was actually chancellor of that college, William and Mary College, till the day he died. Here we go. At age 15, I want you to see something that he wrote at age 15. These are historical documents that we're sharing with you today. These aren't things we've made up. Matter of fact, I wrote things out using a friend of mine's book. He's been here before, America's God and Country. Author Bill Fedderus. A big old fat book like that. Hope to get him here and he'll autograph a bunch of these books for you. He's an awesome guy. But anyway, Roger also was going on the computer double-checking things online, checking things out, make sure we're as accurate as we possibly can be. At age 15, George Washington, as a young man, writing in his own handwriting, rules of civility. Rules of civility. How to behave, how to have manners, what should you be good thinking? Here we go. Here's what he wrote in his own handwriting. Pop up some of them. When you speak of God or His attributes, let it be seriously and with what? Reverence. I thought this was interesting. Honor and obey your parents, although they be poor. In his own handwriting. Let your recreations, I love this, be what? Manful, not sinful. George Washington had no problem, men and young men, being a man. Okay? And the passions, having the passions of a man, but be under God's control. But be every bit of a man that you can be. Okay? Labor to keep alive in your breast. His writing at 15. A little spark of celestial fire called what? Conscience. This was our founding father. This is where we came from. Keep looking. So as a young man, now let's look at him as a young soldier, George Washington. Listen to the words of his mother, Mary Washington, when he was a young man and he's headed off into war. Here's what she wrote to him. Remember that God is our only sure trust. To Him I commend you, son. Neglect not the duty of what? Secret prayer. It said of witnesses, people that knew George Washington, that he would get up at 4 a.m. in his study and would pull a chair when he was general and president of the United States and pull a chair 4 a.m. and pray for a couple of hours on a chair. We ain't got 3 minutes or 5 minutes. You hearing me say? It's where we came from. This was the man right here. Just one of many. Also, there's no doubt that Almighty God protected George Washington as a young soldier. Don't you see that this is part of our history and who we are? God was in the founding of our country. Can you say that with me? God was in the founding of our country. You can be proud of this country because of Him. You give Him the glory and the credit. What other country, 250 years old or whatever, has come so far as we have? No other country has ever succeeded the things that we've done. Ever. And become the power in the world and to spread the gospel around the world like the United States of America and enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy. Do y'all hear me say? It was an act of God. It was a miracle of God, what we enjoy today. George Washington was protected by God. And you need to see it from history. During the French and Indian War, young George Washington fought alongside of General Edward Braddock. On July 9, 1755, the French and Indians surprised them in an ambush attack. The British, who were not accustomed to fighting unless in an open field, were being destroyed. Washington rode back and forth across the battle on his horse, delivering General Braddock's orders across the battlefield. As the battle raged, every officer on horseback was shot down. Every one of them. This is history. Except for who? Washington. Even General Braddock was killed. Now watch it. This is George Washington in a letter to his brother John. And this is what George Washington wrote. But by the all-powerful dispensations of providence, I have been protected beyond all human probability or expectation. I had 4 bullets through my coat and 2 horses shot from under me, yet I escaped without hurt, although death was leveling my companions on every side of me. That's how our country came to be. Through men like this, God having His hand on men like this. Listen to what one famous Indian warrior said about Washington, an enemy. Okay? Here's what he said. Washington was never born to be killed by bullet. I had 17 fair fires at him with my rifle, and after all, could not bring him to the ground. Amen. That's good. We're glad. Here we go. So as a young boy, as a young soldier, as the general, I want you to see George Washington. Look at an entry in Washington's diary. All these documents, either his diaries or letters, are part of our history. Look at an entry in Washington's diary on June 1, 1774, as the colonies were seeking God's will as to whether or not they should break ties with England. All hell was about to break loose when they break ties with England. And here's what he wrote in his diary on this particular day. Look at it. Simple. Say it with me. Went to church and fasted all day. This is a man. Believes in God. Believes in fasting. Believes in prayer. Keep looking. Listen to the orders he gave his troops on July 4th, 1 year before independence, 1775. The general, Washington writing, most earnestly requires and expects a due observance of those articles of war established for the government of the army, which forbids profane cursing, swearing, and drunkenness. And in like manner, I require, say I require with me, I require and expect of all officers and soldiers not engaged in actual duty, a punctual attendance of divine services. Plain English, go to church. To implore the blessings of heaven upon the means used for our safety and our defense. This great land you live in and I enjoy and that I take for granted, it was a God thing. God has surely blessed America. His hand was on our founding. In God needs to be our trust, friend. Keep looking. I want to learn, let's teach you a great verse this morning. Let's say it together. Some of you already know it, but you need to have it before you leave today. You need this verse inside of you. Here we go. And it's a long one. Here we go. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Let's do it again. 2 Chronicles 7:14. I need your attention. Here we go. It's learning time. I'll hide God's word in my heart that I might not sin against Him. That's what the Bible teaches. Let's hide some of it in us. Here we go. Say it with me. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. One more time, then it's test. We're going to put a lot of blanks up there. Ready? Get ready. Come on. How many know it already? Good. All right. Good help there. Here we go. Here we go. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Test time with Uncle Roger. Pop it up, Rog. Here we go. Ready? If my, which are called by my, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Well, these that gave you a head start. Amen? Great verse of Scripture. George Washington. Matter of fact, during the time of George Washington as general, warships that were commissioned by George Washington. Most people will never know this. They flew under the following flag. What kind of flag did the warships have when Washington was general? This flag right there. An appeal to heaven. That's what the ships flew under. We can't have that. We'll make people mad. Put anything about heaven. He could care less. That's what they did. That's who they believed in. They believed in God. They believed in prayer. They flew that flag appealing to Almighty God for help. Y'all listening or not? That flew on our ships. Listen to what General Washington wrote to his troops 2 days before Independence Day, July 2nd. You need to look at this. Look at it. The time is now near at hand, which must probably determine whether Americans are to be free men or slaves, whether they are to have any property they can call their own, whether their houses and farms are pillaged and destroyed, and themselves consigned to a state of wretchedness from which no human effort will deliver them. The fate of unborn millions, that's us, folks. You're hearing me say that with me. The fate of unborn millions will now depend under God on the courage of this army. Our cruel and unrelenting enemy leaves us only the choice of brave resistance or the most abject submission. We have therefore, say it with me, to resolve to conquer or die. Did you hear that say? How many thought you're griping about your house? You have a house because people like this shed their blood for you and me. Do you hear me say? We gripe, we moan, we groan. I can't believe this, I can't believe that. Let me tell you something. Somebody fought for us. Somebody died for us so you could take your car and go drive to a house this afternoon. You can own that house with your name on a deed. How many in this building has a name on a deed, something in your name like a house, something? I see your hands. Can we praise the Lord for that? Say, can we do something like that? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Unborn millions are going to depend on us, Washington said. Now listen to him on July 9th, when tensions were so hot, battles so fierce. July 9th, 1776. What did he write? This is his own writing. The general hopes and trusts that every officer and man will endeavor to live and act, say it with me, as it becomes a what? Christian soldier. He had zero problem saying Christian soldier, defending the dearest rights and liberties of his country. Keep looking. In God we trust. We're looking at Washington, George Washington today. On August 20th, I want you to see what he wrote. We're making pretty good time. 1778, Washington writes to General Thomas Nelson. I want you to see what Washington wrote to this general. Look at it. Here it goes. The hand of Providence, and by the way, that's Almighty God. Some of you don't know that. Okay? The hand of Almighty God has been so conspicuous in all this, the course of the war. It's been so easy to see His hand, he's saying, that he must be worse than an infidel that lacks faith, and more wicked that has not gratitude to acknowledge his obligations. It will be time enough, he says, for me to turn preacher when my present appointment ceases. Oh, he believed in God, all right. He saw the hand of God on this country, in his life. Matter of fact, he says, anybody that says they haven't seen God's hand in God's providence, they're worse than an infidel. They're the most wicked person imaginable if you can't see the hand of God on America. And he thought, man, I can preach after this. But guess what? History would have it a little different. Not preacher, say it with me, but President of the United States of America. George Washington would become our first president. He took the oath of office on April 30th, 1789. Say it with me. With his hand upon an open Bible. And it wasn't for show, friend. This was a book he read, a book he believed in, a book he challenged others to live by. Amen? It wasn't just something to do. Listen to the opening of his inaugural address, the first things that came out of Washington's mouth when he was President of the United States. He is now President, our first President of the United States. What are you going to say, Mr. President? What's the first thing that you're going to say when you address the people? I think that'd be pretty important, don't you say? Let's look at it. It would be particularly improper for me to omit in this first official act my fervent supplications to the Almighty Being who rules over the universe, who presides in the councils of nations, and whose providential aids can supply every human defect. No people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than the people of the United States. Wow! Those are his opening comments. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good stuff. He wasn't trying to hide from his faith. Are you listening? Say. He wasn't trying to disassociate himself from his faith in Jesus Christ. You listening? This is where we came from, people. And I really don't care what you believe. You can't argue with this. This is fact. This happened. And that's where we came from, no matter where you're going. This is our founding. It's how it started. Matter of fact, where did Thanksgiving come from? We hear all kinds of stories about Thanksgiving. Look at this. Washington proclaimed Thanksgiving a national holiday the same year that he became president. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th of November, to be devoted by the people of the United States to the service of that great and glorious being who's the author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be. Amen? I guess he was preaching after all, wasn't he? No, you can't be president and preach. Why not? This was who he was. He believed in God. Just because he took an oath of office or did something else wasn't going to change who he was. He was who he was. He wrote in this note, "Don't forget God," on March 11, 1792. Listen to what he says. "I am sure there was never a people who had more reason to acknowledge a divine interposition in their affairs than those of the United States." What was he saying? He's saying there's nobody on the planet that should be more grateful and more thankful than the United States of America. He was an eyewitness. He saw it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen? He was there when it happened. Okay? Gratitude. Now, what did he say in his farewell address? There's so much history on George Washington, you could spend probably your lifetime researching and studying it. In his farewell address, when he was going to say his last words to the people, September 19th, 1796, here's what he said. Really important that you listen. "The name American, which belongs to you in your national capacity, must always exalt the just pride of patriotism more than any other application derived from local discriminations. With light shades of differences," he writes, "you have the same religion." Say that with me. Same religion. I want you to let that sink in. Same religion. Say it with me one more time. Same religion. Manners, habits, and political principles. Same religion. Religion today has come to mean a word we don't even like to use much. But Washington didn't shy away from using religion. Religion meant Christianity. Religion meant a belief in Jesus Christ. Religion meant a belief in the Bible as God's Word. Religion didn't mean you believed in 300,000 gods if you're Hindu. It didn't mean that. It didn't mean Islam. Whether you like me saying that or not, it didn't mean that. He said, you have the same religion. You might have different denominations, but you have the same religion. America is a Christian nation. If you got the guts, can you say that with me? America is a Christian nation. And because of our Christian principles, we embrace others. We love others who come to our country on our shores. But just because we love others and others can have the freedom of exercise of various beliefs, Why does that mean we got to shy away from where we came from? Say. And give God, the God of heaven. By the way, the only true God, and He has one Son named Jesus, and that's the only way you can get to heaven? That's what the Bible teaches? Why should we shy away from our founding, and really we know the giver of all good things is Almighty God? Why should we shy away from that or be ashamed? Are you listening? Say. This is where we came from. This is what He wrote them in His farewell address. He goes on to say this, and boy, you need to listen. Of all the dispensations and habits which lead to political prosperity, if you're going to ever prosper, he says, and be prosperous, religion and morality, say it with me, are indispensable supports. And when he says religion, he means a faith in Jesus Christ, in the God of the Bible, and the morals taught in God's Word. Did y'all hear me say? That's what he means. He says they're indispensable props if you're going to succeed and be prosperous. Keep looking. In vain, he writes, would men claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness, the firmest props of the duties of men and citizens. What does that mean in plain English that Gary can understand? Here's what that means. If you call yourself a patriot, but you are subverting or destroying religion, and certainly, namely, Christianity and the Bible, and if you are calling yourself a patriot, but you do not stand for moral behavior and doing the right thing, you are not a patriot. Did you hear me say? Now, that's coming from George, not just Gary, but I'm backing old George up today. You're not a patriot. You're not a patriot if you're against the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're not a patriot if you think you can live your life any way you want to, helter-skelter, do whatever you want to, morals doesn't matter. You're not a patriot. A lot of people claim to be patriots, and I'd be thrown out of places if I said something like that, that you're not a patriot. Hey, I didn't say it. I'm just backing up old George. You hearing me say? So you can use your mouth to say anything. But if you go along and subvert, destroy the underpinning of this country, which was built on the solid foundation of the Word of God and Jesus Christ and the teachings, moral commands like the Ten Commandments, and you make those illegal, don't call yourself a patriot. That's what he said. And I amen it. George Washington's going to close us in prayer, and then I got just one little tidbit. Can we let George close us in prayer today? See, he was a praying man. He loved to write. He wrote his prayers down so that all throughout all history, you can see it. You can't deny it. You can't deny what I said was on the screen today. You can come argue with me on it. It ain't going to do a bit of good. Okay? It's fact. Look at this prayer. I could have picked, a ton of these. I thought I'd close us in this one. Let's look at it. George praying, O Lord our God, most mighty and merciful Father, I, thine unworthy creature and servant, do once more approach your presence, though not worthy to appear before you, because of my natural corruptions and many sins and transgressions which I have committed against thy divine majesty. Yet I beseech thee, for the sake of Him in whom thou art well pleased, the Lord Jesus Christ, to admit me to render thee deserved thanks and praises for thy manifold mercies extended toward me. Bless the people of this land. Be a father to the fatherless, a comforter to the comfortless, a deliverer to the captives, and a physician to the sick. Let thy blessings be upon our friends, kindred, and families. Be our guide this day and forever through Jesus Christ, in whose blessed form of prayer I conclude my weak petitions. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hey, I believe that prayer would work today. Don't you?
That's pretty good old prayer right there.
George Washington, in God we trust. Here's what the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, John Marshall, said of Washington at his death in December of 1799. Without making ostentatious professions of religion, he was a sincere believer in the Christian faith and a truly devout man. No doubt where George stood. And by the way, in case you're still wondering, you can take your trip. Okay? Spend your gas money. On the rear wall of Washington's tomb is engraved the following verse. I mean, you got a big Bible. You can put anything back there you want. I mean, this is one of the humdingers, the big daddies. Look at it. Jesus said unto her, say the verse with me, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Don't you think that was a pretty good humdinger verse to put on the back wall of the tomb? Let's praise the Lord for that good scripture right there. Amen. Come on. Woo! That's a good scripture. But just in case you still wonder, was this man a Christian? I don't know how you can. Just in the little time I spent with you. The Washington Monument. You can't miss it. How many have been there personally and seen it? Okay? You can't miss it. Look at it. It stands over 555 feet tall. But watch it. Engraved on the east sides of the metal caps are these words. They could put any words. What words are they going to put? Let's look. Les Deo. What's that mean? Say it with me. Praise be to God. This is where you came from. Are you listening? Say. This is our country. That's how it was founded. That's why you can have a home. Because of people like this. Now, if you get there to that Washington Monument, as you go on the stairways, we're not done yet. Go up the stairs, but be looking. Get your cheaters on. I have to wear the cheaters now to see. But listen, get your glasses. And when you walk up on the inside stairs, watch it. You'll see stuff like this. Verses of Scripture. But Jesus called unto them and said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven of God. How about this verse? It's there. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Boy, some pretty good scriptures right there, wouldn't you say? Look at this one. John 5:39. It's there. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And then there's, I could go all day on this. Exodus 39:30 is there. And they made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold and wrote upon it a writing like to the engravings of a signet. Say that with me. Holiness to the Lord. And listen, if you look carefully, as you're on the inside and you're looking, here's what you'll see. In God we trust is inside there too. Okay? So anyway, George preached today for us. That's it. That's the end of my message right there. George Washington, founder, president of our country, general of the army, went through hell and back, and God had his providential hand on him. And that's how our nation was founded. Just in case you forgot. How many have not heard something like this really in a long, 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 long time in your life? Praise Jesus, we did it in Englewood. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good stuff.